Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. We are here at the NRB Convention, Nashville, Tennessee, the Gaylord Opryland Hotel. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of buzz in what God is already doing in this place and space. And joining us today is a very near and dear friend. She's a very special guest, Carrie Sheffield. Carrie is a columnist and broadcaster in Washington, D.C. She earned a full tuition Harvard scholarship, managed billions of dollars in risk at Wall Street firms, and competed in a Miss USA System beauty pageant. A journalist and former White House correspondent, she challenged the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and testified as an economic expert before the U.S. Congress. Carrie achieved all this while overcoming a life of extreme poverty and psychological, spiritual, and sexual abuse, which you can read all about in her book titled Motorhome Prophecies, a true story about Carrie's journey toward healing, forgiveness, and freedom. Carrie continues to share insights on networks like CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, CBS News, CNBC, BBC, and more, from ABC's Good Morning America to HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, PBS, and C-SPAN. She uses her dynamic voice to resonate with audiences of millions. A traveling enthusiast, this is fascinating to me. Carrie visited every continent, including Antarctica, before age 30. She ran the Marine Corps Marathon and won the National Press Club 5K three times. Named the most inspiring New Yorker by the popular connection app Bumble, Carrie is passionate about instilling resilience and joy in others. Carrie, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Zach, thank you for having me. Great to be back.
A lot of different hats, a lot of different roles, a lot of different responsibilities. Up front, though, Carrie, what are you most excited that God is doing in your life today?
I am so excited that we're here on site in Music City.
Yes.
Because God is redeeming and restoring music in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to be here. And I'll be speaking on the panel with your dad later this afternoon on the topic of a Bible response to the mental health crisis. And one, you know, if I know we spoke in an earlier podcast, one thing that's happened since then is that God has been redeeming music in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about it some in the panel, but adding in a new layer of music to what I'm doing with my spoken and written word has really added more just in my body and just feeling the healing, if that makes sense.
Just for a second, I want to get really practical and really give our listeners three things that they can walk away with that I believe help create a healthy faith or a flourishing faith, right? John 10:10 says that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, but that Jesus has come so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Carrie, the first F that I want to give people to think about is that of fellowship. Why is fellowship so significant to helping people develop a healthy faith?
Yeah, I love what you said, that healing does not happen in hiding. And community is the opposite of hiding. And confessional community especially, it is so liberating. You don't walk around with the sense that I'm carrying this big rucksack on my back of my emotions and my depression and my anxiety. You release it because the community helps you lighten it. And I think it's also, if I may be so bold, I think isolationism is also a form, in some ways it could be expressed as narcissism, because it's this belief that like my problems, nobody will understand. This I have to do it alone because I'm strong enough and I can do it alone. You know, that it's so it takes humility to be in community. I remember when I first started to come into Christian community, I kind of thought, and actually as C.S. Lewis talked about this, because he was a convert in his 30s and I was baptized in my 30s. When I read the Screwtape Letters, he talked about this and how all the ways that Satan tries to keep us away from community. And one of them he said was about, oh, these Christians, they're so basic. They're just, you know, like little church mice, or they're just, They're so not sophisticated. Meanwhile, he's this Oxford literature professor, world-class, you know, hanging out with J.R. Tolkien and just brilliant intellect, going into a church with maybe some farmer from, like, you know, rural Scotland with a, like, thick accent brogue. Like, what do they have in common, you know? And so his ego was attacking him. And I think that's another thing that can separate us from community. But again, just look at the data. All the data says that when we are in faith community, when we're in a healthy faith community, our suicide goes down, drug addiction goes down, alcohol addiction goes down, sex addiction goes down. So it is, and I will also put a caveat as someone who has had church hurt.
Absolutely.
If you have been wounded in a Christian or religious community, please know that is not God's will. That is not God's design for your life. And please keep looking, keep searching, because you will find that pearl.
Mm. Fellowship is key. It's central to be able to living the healthy or the flourishing faith. Number two is forgiveness. Now I'll say this, a lot of times healing has to take place before maybe one feels like they're able to fully forgive. But we also have a misunderstanding of what forgiveness really means. It's not just letting somebody off the hook, forgetting about what happened, just saying, I'm going to be somebody's doormat. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness only takes one. Reconciliation takes two. Forgiveness takes one, and forgiveness is freeing. There was an old quote that said that forgiveness is like setting a captive free and recognizing that the captive was you. Speak to the significance of forgiveness and how that was such a central part and a theme of your healing journey.
Yeah. So that is a subtitle of my book. So it's Motorhome Prophecies, A Journey of Healing and Forgiveness. And so I have a whole chapter in there on forgiveness. And I talk about a mentor of mine who I call my forgiveness mentor. And his name is Anthony Thompson. And his wife was murdered in Charleston in that shooting, that evil shooting in 2015 at the predominantly Black church, Mother Emmanuel Church.
Yes.
And it was a white supremacist who drove across the state from Columbia, South Carolina to Charleston, specifically wanting to hunt and target Black people. And so he shot and murdered 9 Black people in that church. It was a Wednesday night Bible study. And one of the people that was killed was my friend's wife. And so he went on to write a book. The title is Called to Forgive. And it knocks down all of these myths. One of them that you mentioned, that that forgiveness means that you need to let them back in your life. And that's not true. There's two separate things. There's forgiveness and then there's reconciliation.
Sure.
Forgiveness, as you said, that's a one party business. That is in my control. Reconciliation, whether or not I let this person back in my life, that's a two-party situation that is contingent on their behavior.
Yes.
And the important distinction when we mention boundaries is to know that it requires the consistent showing up with the transformation on their part so that the relationship can be repaired.
Mm.
And if that doesn't happen, then I believe this is well within God's rights to not allow that person back in your life.
Yes.
Because I had a really good, and when we're talking about mental illness, someone recently gave me a great analogy about mental illness. And as someone whose families have been just in the throes of in and out of psychiatric units, family members arrested, family members, you know, I don't say this with pride, but I'm the only family member of my 10 immediate members who have not been arrested for assault or theft. And I'm like, I pray to God this shield remains, that I will be able to retain this self-control for the rest of my life. But it's just like coming from that environment, a very violent, narcissistic environment people that I was surrounded by. A friend said, you know, mental illness is like a carousel. It doesn't, and the horses have twisted faces. It's like a haunted carousel, and it doesn't go forward and it doesn't go upward. It just goes around and around and around. And,
wow.
And that's why the same psychoses manifest themselves, the same psychiatric, they might have different shades to it, but the same person will have the same, reoccurrences and episodes unless they decide to get off the carousel.
Mm.
And she said, Carrie, you got off the carousel. Because I've been hospitalized multiple times for depression and suicidality. And praise God, I have now been for years without that because of the rewiring of my brain. But I made a conscious decision to get off that carousel. And Jesus helped me do it. And she said, Carrie, you can either leave the park or you can stand there next to the carousel. And if someone in your family wants to get off, you could support them as they get off. but they need to be the one to get off. You're not going to pull them off. You're going to rip your arm off, or they're going to pull you back in. And so that's when I talk about forgiveness. I think of that analogy because I don't need to feel ashamed that I got off the carousel, because sometimes people in my family have tried to make me feel guilty or shamed because I enjoy my life and I have success in my life through God. And I try to give them the tools and they don't want to listen to them. And so it's like, okay, if you don't want to get off the carousel, I can still forgive you and I can still love you, but I don't need to get on that carousel with you. And that's to me what boundaries are. And so forgiveness and boundaries, they go hand in hand.
That's right. Forgiveness is freeing, but reconciliation is not just your responsibility. It takes two parties. That's how trust is developed. Trust is earned at the end of the day. I remember sitting down with Dr. Sharon Hart May years ago, and we were talking about couples or families that have experienced, whether it's abuse, whether it's infidelity, whether it's betrayal, a lot of hurt. I remember her saying that until the other party, you see them on a process of progress, you see them committed to developing just holistically in their life, until you see that, maybe then might you be willing to risk trusting again. So like you said, there's a huge piece there. So again, the flourishing faith, the healthy faith requires fellowship. It requires forgiveness. And I think the last one it requires is faithfulness. The willingness to continue to show up, the willingness to have these spiritual disciplines a part of your life, not just in community, not just going to church, but spending intimate personal time with the Lord and allowing him to renew and to rejuvenate and to rewire your mind and your faith. Speak to just this idea of faithfulness and what some of those spiritual disciplines, prayer, spending time in his presence, what some of those things have done for you.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I came out, like I said, I came out of the LDS tradition. There's a lot about the culture and my family history that I respect and deeply admire. Theologically, I am departed from that. I'm not involved with that. Yeah. I will say that my experience of it also was that it was in some ways very works-based and very kind of, I remember hearing at church when I was LDS, like this idea that I had to earn my salvation,
right?
That I had to show,
climb the ladder.
Yes, and through my righteousness and my, I had to prove that I qualified. I remember hearing that word qualify for heaven. And now in my Christian walk, I'm a Protestant. I've been a Protestant for 8 years, imperfect sinner myself. But the idea that I can qualify for heaven is so anathema to me now, because I am daily a sinner and I cannot qualify for anything. And it is only through the blood of Jesus that we are reconciled with God and that we are able to enter into his holy presence. And so the idea of faithfulness to me has a different tone, I would say. So it's not as much as all those things you mentioned, the tools, the Bible studies, the rituals, the prayer, and there's all sorts of expressions of Christianity from the formal liturgy, like a Episcopal or Anglican tradition, all the way to, charismatic. There's the whole spectrum of how we can incorporate ritual into our practice. Yes. I think what I even to this day sometimes struggle with, the idea that God really just wants to love us and to spend time instead of showing up with good deeds, paying tithing, doing volunteering and all. These are all good things. I'm in worship ministry. I sing, I play violin. Those are all things I can do to be part of my faithfulness community. Yes. I'm in the kids ministry as well. But those are not going to qualify me for anything.
Not at all.
And so I think for someone like my experience coming out of trauma was that I've struggled with the idea of receiving God's love and receiving good things. In my time with God, I have rewired my brain. Again, I'm not perfect at this, but just to actually just relax with God, as opposed to like either being angry with God and like ranting at him, complaining at him, telling him what he needed to do for me and giving him my shopping list and treating him like my bellhop, as opposed to just like the Bible says, delighting ourselves in God. And there was a Bible verse once that I really kind of wrestled with. It said that, God delights in his people and in every detail of their lives. He delights in it. I remember thinking when I read that verse, like, are you saying you delighted when I was being sexually assaulted? You delighted in that? Are you saying you delighted when, all these traumatic things happened to me and my father disowned me and said my blood changed and I was no longer his daughter because I left his cult. Like, you delighted in that, God? Like, are you sick? Like, I was so angry at God. I was like, you're delighting in that? Are you masochist? Like, what's wrong with you, God? Like, how could you say that in your word, that you delight in every step? Wow. And that gets to what you were saying earlier about God is a God of restorer, and that nothing is wasted. Yeah. And that those moments where I was abused or assaulted or traumatized, it's like, where was God in those moments? And so a big part of that journey for me was going to Deep Healing Prayer Ministry. And so I recommend that to people who are struggling with trauma. Sometimes it's called Sozo Ministry or Deliverance Prayer Ministry. And I did it with an Anglican church in the DC area. They assigned me two female prayer ministers. And I joke, the intake process of it was more invasive than a doctor's office. They had me fill out like a 9-page list of my grandparents' traumas and sins, my parents' traumas and sins, my own traumas and sins. It was very comprehensive. Look at how were the generational curses being passed down and how was I perpetuating them? Over the course of these months, when I prayed every 2 weeks with them, for sometimes for hours, we wrestled through these traumatizing moments. And we did ask God, Jesus, where were you? And Jesus, what did you want to be in that moment? Or what did you want to have happen in that moment as opposed to what happened? What was your will there? And how can we reclaim this? And so for me, that's what's been faithfulness, is to wrestle with God and to don't take the easy way out. I think sometimes within Christianity, there can be a bumper sticker way. I mean, you had a loving family, but kudos to you for really being willing to wrestle with people who are going through a lot. Because I can say that there are a lot of Christians who don't do what you do, Zach. They don't have empathy. Mm. And so sometimes I actually have to pray to God, Lord, give me empathy for people with no empathy.
That's right.
Because there, I think for people who are not informed about trauma and not informed about the effects of it, they can just judge and they can just say that, oh, they're just, stop sinning. What's wrong with you? Yeah. You know? And it's just like, you have no idea what it means. Yeah. They don't know what an ACE score is, for example, you know, the adverse childhood experience score. My childhood ACE score is 7, which puts me in the top 2 to 3% of Americans with 7 or higher, which means significantly, I should be a drug addict. I should be dead, like based on all the stats. Yeah. And so your average Christian who doesn't know these things, they might just look at me and judge me and say, why are you complaining all the time? Mm-hmm. You know, just stop, you know, and it's like, I got to get some tools to get there. And now I'm getting there. So
that's right. That's this idea though, too. God is sovereign. We are responsible. When God opens doors like that, I'm grateful, right? That two of my favorite words in scripture are, but God, right? He opened the door for you to step through, and thank God that he equipped you with people around you, the fellowship, that he equipped you with this idea of forgiveness, that he equipped you just to simply be faithful, to give an obedient yes. And like you said, the beautiful thing about our God is that his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness is not something that we could ever earn, because he doesn't ask us to. And so that's the beauty of who our God really is. And I think you've reminded of us that today, Carrie. And I'm so grateful to hear more about your story, to hear some practical tips and strategies and fellowship, forgiveness and faithfulness. But I want to close this way. Where can just our audience go to find out more about just healthy faith, whether it's a website, where can they go to find out more about you? Because if I were them and I'm listening to your story and just to your raw vulnerability and your willingness to be so courageous and bold to share some of the things that have happened in the past and the hurts and the hangups, but also the hope that can be found through heaven, I would want to learn more about you today. Where can they go?
Thank you. Yes, as you mentioned, we do have a Substack page. So folks can go to healthyfaithsaves.substack.com. So or if you just Google Healthy Faith Substack, it should pop up for you. That will put you, you can sign up for our email. You'll get all our updates. We have different pages. You can see about different events, different media articles and media interviews, and also learn about our advisory board. And also if you'd like to support our work, it is tax deductible. And so we would welcome any support on that. But we work. And so it, also if anyone listening wants to have a Healthy Faith event, we do lots of events with high schools and colleges and nonprofits and churches. Love coming in and doing events, including now a musical component if folks want. I recently just did an event at a men's addiction recovery center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I was able to sing my song for them And actually one of the men who's in the program played the guitar with me. And so we were able to do it together. And some of the men were just moved to tears, not because of what I had done, but because of the message. And one of them came up to me afterward and said, the story about my Heavenly Father is, he said, that was my story. That was my father, my earthly father. And thank you for reminding me who my Heavenly Father is through this song. And that's why I do what I do. So we'd love to connect with anyone interested in learning more.
Again, Carrie, so grateful what God's doing in and through you, through the lanes of mental health, ministry, media, music. It's amazing what he's continuing to do. Thank you for sharing just these moments with us. And thank you for continuing to move exactly where he is already moving. Carrie, you're a blessing from all of us at the American Association of Christian Counselors. On behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we're incredibly grateful for you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Zach. And thank you for your wonderful ministry. It's so needed. And so you are a blessing. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors, for your Mental Health Minute. Do you remember the day maybe the light went out inside? The moment that everything changed? When someone broke your spirit, shut you down? I hear it all the time. I hate him for what he did. I hate her for what she said. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to let that go. To build a bridge over it. Let the healing begin. Because holding it inside, harboring unforgiveness, it's like drinking your own poison. It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. Hear me. Let it go. Forgiveness only takes one person. And no, that doesn't erase what they did. Reconciliation, that's a whole different story. But for now, let it go. Let life come back into your heart. Give forgiveness a try. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, President of the American Association of Christian Counselors and host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.